Today on the Become a Unique podcast, I have such a beautiful and amazing soul here by the name of Anne. Welcome.
I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, yes. Thank you. And I'm so happy that you are here. So before we even get into today's topic, you got to let everybody know who is Anne.
Well, my name is Anne Swanson, and I am a yoga teacher, yoga therapist, meditation teacher, but I came to these things because I myself dealt with a lot of anxiety and depression, as well as sleep issues, chronic pain since I was a teenager. So I came to mind-body practices and meditation for my own healing. And that led me to India, China, to study, and then ultimately to get a master's of science in yoga therapy. And my first book was Science of Yoga. So I broke down how yoga benefits you and every system of your body. And then my second book is called Meditation for the Real World. And it just came out.
Yay. Congratulations on your new book.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you so much for sharing a little piece of you, because it's with having this podcast, I'm realizing that all of these beautiful healers we have out here are wounded warriors. One of my podcast guests told me this like 2 years ago. She said she's a wounded warrior. So I'm like, and then as I'm listening to everyone's story, it's like everyone comes to this beautiful place because they were in a place of needing the tools that you are now being able to give to the world. So sometimes in life, we may look at like, oh, why am I dealing with this? Or I'm dealing with that. Sometimes we have to go through those struggles so we can get all the resources to give back to the world. And it sounds like, you know, you have been, you know, throughout your journey so far, you have been able to gather some beautiful tools and give it back to the world in so many pieces, including books.
Yes. And I think a lot of us that come to wellness practices also are recovering perfectionists. So that has been a big part of my journey too, is like accepting myself and easing that anxiety that comes with being a, like, you know, labeled as a type A type of personality, and just chilling out a little bit. Like, I wasn't naturally a chill person, but I've slowly been using these tools over the years, and I now people tell me I'm chill, but like that wasn't who I was as a kid or when I was little. That's not who I identified as most of my life. So if I can meditate and do these practices, then anybody can and see the benefits.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. So before we even jump into talking a little bit more about meditation and so much more, I would love for you to take a pause to share what you are grateful for today.
I am grateful for so much. In the past year, a lot of things have really come together in my life. I met the love of my life and we're getting married. And we just moved, we're renting a house right by the beach and it just feels like an oasis. So I'm so grateful to be here right now talking to you and to be able to go on a book tour that's virtual. Like, I don't have to leave my home, you know? 5 years ago, more than 5 years ago, right before COVID is when my first book came out. And I had a book tour planned all around the world. Like, I had gigs planned in Japan and Germany, and it was planned for the whole year. I sold everything I owned to travel the world. And after my first stop in South America, the pandemic hit and I ended up in my mom's basement because I didn't have any stuff or place to stay. And so this time around, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do a virtual book tour and then I get to meet amazing people like you.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. And that I'm grateful for that as well, too, to be able to be in company with you today. And, you know, COVID, that's one of the beautiful pieces that came from COVID, this virtual life. It's normal now, you know. Before it'd be like, you know, maybe in your work meetings, you were on some virtual meetings, but now it's just very normal to just have what we're doing now. So that's one of the beautiful things that came out of COVID. Not many things, but that was one of them. But yay. Okay. So we're going to talk about some meditation today, because meditation is, I think it's a pretty hot topic now. You know, it may not have been as hot 10 years ago, but I definitely think it's a hot topic now. And I think it's a topic that's very questionable. And I love your book. You know, questionable is like, am I doing it right? I don't like meditation. I can't just sit there, you know. So it has all these like question marks all around it. And
Yes.
I'm grateful that you have given the world a beautiful book, you know, Meditation for the Real World. So, you know, because it also it has an idea. Some people may think, oh, I'm not a yogi, I don't meditate, I'm not this, and then have all of these labels and different understandings and not thinking that meditation's for them or they can't do it. So I would love for you to share, what is meditation for the real world?
Yeah, so on the cover of the book, there's a woman. She's grab this copy. This on the cover of the book, there's a woman sitting on a subway, and she is the only one that looks peaceful compared to everyone else. She's sitting with her feet grounded down. She's sitting nice and tall. She has headphones on. Eyes are still open, and she looks relaxed. And presumably, she is meditating. And the other people around her are hunched over, looking at their cell phones. I think that this is a picture to really identify, like, what can meditation be? It doesn't have to be sitting on a cushion on the floor in a perfectly quiet environment where you are listening to like chimes in the background or you're in a monastery. It doesn't have to be that. It can be integrated into your everyday life, into those pauses, into those moments you have, rather than scrolling while you wait, meditate while you wait. And even a 1 minute meditation makes a difference. So I do 1 minute meditations right before I go on an interview or an important meeting before you press accept on the meeting. You know, you sit tall for a moment and just reflect, listen to your body, find stillness from the busyness of the day. So that's what I do, is I teach meditation to busy people with busy minds.
I love the cover to your book. So fitting for this time, you know. It's relevant to what's happening now. That's our real world. And sometimes maybe in the yogi community, we may see imagings that don't necessarily reflect to what's going on now, to what's our reality in today's time. So amazing, so amazing. That's such an amazing cover. And let's start with just the ABCs. What is meditation for, like, someone that's listening? Like, you know, what's the definition to meditation?
Yes, meditation is focusing, paying attention to something in a relaxed way. So your teacher will give you a focal point. That could be your breath. It could be your body sensations. It could be a word you repeat or a mantra. It could be anything. And you're then focusing on it. Now, people misunderstand. They think that focusing action on the thing is the meditation, but it's actually a process. So what's going to inevitably happen is your mind is then going to wander to something else, your list of things to do, what you're going to eat later, whatever it is, your mind is going to wander. That's the next step of meditation. And then your brain picks up a network where it determines, is that important, what I'm thinking about right now? It's not relevant to my breath. You know, is it important? Well, if the fire alarm's going off and you're thinking about that, it's time to get out of the building. It's important. Stop meditation. But if you're thinking about what you said yesterday, that conversation, it's not important. So then a new network of your brain takes up activity and it will redirect you back to that focal point. And that's really the key part, is we're training that network that determines, is this important, and redirects you back. And then you're able to do that more in your everyday life. You know, you're able to do that when you're not focusing at work, when you're distracted, when you're with your kids, but you're like thinking about something else and you're not really present with them. You've trained that network. It's like working out. You know, we do bicep curls and our muscles get stronger. You're training that muscle of presence, of being present.
I like that. You know, a lot of times the definition we hear is to quiet the mind. And so people would be like, oh, I don't know. What does that mean? And, in the description you gave is beautiful because it's understanding that when we start our meditation, if we can get a, well, not if, we decide on a focal point of, or it can be like one of my guests said, they start with a word like love.
Yes.
And then, once the mind starts to trigger and move into different directions, like thinking about yesterday's lunch, you bring it back, love. When you know, you, it, so it's the exercise of noticing that the mind is starting to leave its present moment. It's, and then it's bringing it back. So a beautiful tool would to have like a key word that you start off with, or like you said, your breath. You can use your breath as, I guess, with focusing on your breath, because when you're focusing on your breath, it's hard for you to be wondering. Like in if anyone's taking yoga class, someone will, the yoga teacher will say, bring it back to your breath. And when you bring it back to your breath, your mind's no longer thinking about lunch.
Yeah, it brings you to the present moment because you're breathing right now. You notice this breath in the moment.
There is, just like everything in life, I like to say there's a, and I'm in New York City, and I say there's more than one way to get to 42nd Street. You could take the bus, you could take the train, you could
Yes.
walk, you could drive, you could take an Uber. There's many different ways. And even with going, let's say you are you're taking the train. There are multiple different trains you can take to 42nd Street. It's not just one train that goes there. So there's many different ways to get there. And this is, it's to be mindful that there's more than one way to do something. So sometimes we may think something looks like one way, but there's multiple ways of doing it. So could you share the multiple ways of getting to 42nd Street, which in reference to meditation for today's topic. So can you list multiple ways so we can figure out which way is going to be best for us? Because I may like the train, but you may like the bus.
Yes, and that's exactly what meditation for the real world is all about. And I like how you said to be mindful of it, because I think mindfulness is the most popular way. And that's a technique that we use in throughout a lot of different meditations. It's paying attention on purpose to the present moment without judgment, with like a sense of kindness to yourself. And so that could be the breath awareness, the body awareness. You have that focal point. Now there's other types of meditation, like the type you said. It's mantra meditation, repeating a word. And love is one that's commonly used in the research. Also, interestingly, just the word one, which I think is a very profound word. It represents the unity of everything. Everything's one. So that one is used in an abundance of research. So finding a word that you connect with, or even a short phrase that you repeat, that would be a mantra meditation. It could even be an affirmation, something positive, I am love, I am loving, something that is very inspiring to you, and just repeating that. Another type of meditation is like compassion meditation, and there's more and more research coming out about these compassion-based meditations. One that's really cool is called metta, or loving kindness meditation. And I love to do this one when I'm really frustrated with someone. So I'll literally do this if I'm at a party, if I'm in traffic, if I'm in a work situation and somebody is being annoying. Your first thought is probably something negative toward them, right? And that doesn't feel good. It doesn't help your relationship or your relationship with others, your energy. And also, when you're thinking negative things about somebody, it makes your blood pressure go up. Like it has negative physiological effects for yourself. So loving kindness meditation is when you send somebody good wishes. And this has shown to have positive physiological effects on yourself, lowering your blood pressure, helping you feel more connected, releasing feel-good chemicals, lowering your inflammatory markers. So what you would do, like let's all think of somebody that's mildly frustrating right now in your life, somebody that's been frustrating with you recently. And just say to them, imagine them at ease and say, may you be safe. You could say this in your head or out loud. Just imagine sending them this wish. May they be safe. May they be healthy. May they be joyful. May they be free from suffering. May they be at ease. And notice how it feels to send that positive wish to somebody. Now, sometimes it can be harder to say, like, may they be joyful. You choose one that works for you. May they be safe. Is, you know, somebody cuts me off in traffic rather than cursing them out. May they be safe. That's an easy one to do. And it just shifts everything. So that's compassion-based meditations are becoming more and more popular. There's a type of meditation called yoga nidra. This is one that got me really hooked on meditation because you don't have to sit at all. You lie down. You can lie in bed. It's kind of like a yoga nap. You actually go into the brain waves as if you're in deep sleep, delta brain waves, when you're in this type of meditation. So it has a rejuvenating effect like sleep. And if you ever do it, you'll be addicted to it too, because it feels like a nap. You feel rejuvenated afterwards. You might even fall asleep. Those last like 20 to 30 minutes, which I know is like, it sounds like a lot, but when you're lying there, it's like this amazing rejuvenation. So there's so many different types of meditation that you can integrate. And I think it's important, like you said, that it's different for different people, but also for different situations. I would do a different meditation before I go on stage to speak than I would do right before I'm getting a procedure at the doctor's office, which I tend to pass out. So this is one that I have some experience with. It's a totally different meditation. So, you know, if you've ever done a meditation where you're like, that didn't work for me, that technique actually made me more anxious in this situation. You're not alone. Like, that doesn't mean you're bad at meditating. It just means you're doing the wrong meditation for the wrong situation or for the wrong like life stage or like for you, it wasn't the right one for you.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing some of the many, many different ways of approaching meditation. You know, it sounds like from the way you're describing it, that we can use meditation as a calming mechanism. And, you know, before I talk more on this, can you take a moment? I should ask you this at the very beginning. Like, what are the benefits of even meditating? Yeah. Why should someone even want to meditate?
The benefits are profound. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I put in meditation for the real world, a lot of the science to support meditation, because there has been exponential growth in the research because of the promising benefits. Mm-hmm. And I teamed with Harvard researcher and neuroscientist, Dr. Sarah Lazar, to integrate the most cutting edge research. So what it does is it improves your brain, you know, in a lot of ways. It helps your brain tissue preserve its connectivity in critical areas. For example, the prefrontal cortex, right in the front of your brain. That's where we use to focus, make good decisions, plan, evaluate the past. And that area, as we get older, it tends to degrade, as well as areas related to like memory. As we get older, as we deal with trauma and chronic pain, those things make it degrade even faster. Like, your brain is literally smaller when you're older. My 99-year-old grandpa, he has a smaller brain than he did in his 30s. And so meditation rebuilds the areas that tend to degrade with age and with these mental health conditions. Mm-hmm. And a 50-year-old meditator tends to have a brain similar to a 25-year-old non-meditator in these critical areas. Mm-hmm. So meditation can help preserve that connectivity and abilities of your brain. And also real in the moment, you know, meditation is going to help you lower your blood pressure. It's going to lower your heart rate. It's going to release endorphins, feel good chemicals, to help you like kind of like have that runner's high, but a meditator's high. Mm-hmm. And you'll feel more connected and present and able to listen to your body. And when we listen to our body better, then we can deliver whatever our body needs, right? We could do better self-care. So that ability to listen to your internal body is called interoception, and meditation really builds that internal perception, the interoception. And that's your intuition. That's your inner wisdom that you're tapping into.
Yeah. Thank you for helping to clarify some of the beautiful benefits that meditation has for someone, you know. And when you were describing the different ways that you can use meditation, you said, oh, you may do it, you know, before you go on a meeting or you go speak at a stage, and you use it at different times. So you can know it with this conversation, we can bring awareness that we can have different practices for different times. It doesn't have to, you know, if we create one practice of meditation, it's okay to broaden the practice. And, you know, most of us may think meditation only looks like, you know, sitting quietly for about 15 minutes and quieting the mind, where you're describing it in ways that you're just basically, you know, about to go on stage. And I know you're not sitting a corner in back of the stage, closing your eyes and giving it 15 minutes. You know, I'm sure whatever you just did, you know, it may be about 45 seconds, it sounds like, you know. So that's, you know, I never thought about meditation in that type of way of like a quick, oop, like, you know, to, I guess, settle the nervous system down so you can be, you know, so it can help us be calm enough to, like, I guess, perform at a peak and not, to calm the mind, from what I'm getting, to calm the mind so it's not all over the place. It's not thinking about yesterday's lunch, what I keep saying.
Yes.
it brings you to this, it brings you to this very moment. So
it can be like a reset button, or really even a dial that dials you down. So when we do 1 minute meditations is what I call them in Meditation for the Real World. These are just little powerful pauses. They could even be a one breath meditation. You know, when you feel like, oh, I'm about to blow my fuse and yell at my kids, one deep breath being present could make a difference in that situation. So these little powerful pauses, these mini meditations that you fit through your day, I believe can have an even more powerful impact, because you'll see the immediate results. You'll change the way you think and feel, and then you'll come back to it and you'll continue to do it in those little breaks. I think that that's going to have a more, you know, like make a difference in your life. And I do think it's still important to do a, you know, 5, 10, 15 minute meditation and build that practice. That's beneficial too. That helps you be able to fit it through your day. But I'm kind of sick of the culture of everybody just being like, just be mindful. Just be mindful all day. Be present and in the moment and just do that. Well, you know, research shows that humans mind wander 47% of the time. So like, that's just natural for us to mind wander. Even the most advanced meditators mind wander. So during the day, you can't just be mindful all the time. These powerful pauses, this nervous system reset gets you back into mindfulness and into that flow state more efficiently.
Yeah. I love how you called it powerful pauses. That's a beautiful way of saying, you know, cause just like you said, the person that, like the cover of your book, the person on the train is just taking a powerful pause as they're waiting for their stop to arrive. Or, you know, you just before you're going on stage or starting a Zoom meeting, you're taking a powerful pause just to kind of like come to this very moment, let go of all the stuff your mind has been pushing through all day long or and so on and collecting. So this is very powerful to just have this conversation around powerful pause and then taking us out of this idea that meditation looks like, you know, like Om, or you're sitting there with your fingers in the mudra and you're chanting or something to that extent. You know, sometimes people have their preconceived, like, you know, idea of what meditation is supposed to be. And like I said, your title is, you know, of the book and the picture of the book brings us to this very moment to let us know, no, you don't have to be some type of yogi to meditate. Everyone of us has, you know, can, you know, pull pausing, taking those powerful pauses in meditation. Now, I just want to go back to a couple of the other meditations that you spoke about, which was like the compassion meditation. You know, when would you suggest that we do the compassion meditation in the moment that this is happening? So we're in the room with this, let's say it's a woke buddy. And they're like a little bit irritating or something to that extent. And then that's when we take the pause and start sending them love, you know, all the well wishes, and just take like that minute to wish them well with like these words. Or are we like in the moment at home, if they run across our mind, then we say, you know, let me stop and pause for this and acknowledge it. Like, when are you suggesting that we use this compassion meditation?
Yeah, so you can practice it as a more formal 10-minute meditation. And I have that in the book, as well as if you go to meditationfortherealworld.com, you get audio meditations that guide you through. And that's one of them, is this loving kindness meditation that you can get for free. And so you could do it as that longer practice, but then that's really preparing you to do what you just said. Like, when you notice you're in a conversation in your head and you're just going on and on about this person, creating stories about them, may they be safe. Mm-hmm. May they be free from suffering. You can make up your own well wish. It doesn't have to be one of these more formal ones. And you send it to them. You're going to notice the change in your own body. Mm-hmm. So I love that. That scenario you gave of like catching yourself. And I think that's where I get kind of frustrated with the world of being like, just be mindful. It's like, okay, I noticed that I'm in a story being very negative about this person. Now, what technique can I actually use to come back to the present moment? And that's what I'm going to use, is I'm going to use sending them some compassion, some loving kindness, just one phrase, two phrases. It could be a deep breath and sending them that, and it's going to change things for you. And then also when I'm around the person. So I have somebody in particular that in a social circle, you know, they constantly are, you know, saying sexist, racist, horrible things, and they're hitting on my friends and sexually harassing them. It's really extreme. And mm-hmm. So I'm like around this person, and while they're being them, rather than letting my blood pressure get higher, or honestly, I used to take more sips of my wine, rather than doing that, may they be free from suffering. Because mm-hmm. honestly, the reason they're acting like that is because they're suffering.
Yeah.
And this doesn't mean, just because you're sending compassion to them, doesn't mean that you are not going to say anything when that person does something wrong. It doesn't mean you're just going to turn into a pushover. Actually, this empowers you to come forward and with a more calm, strong presence, be able to stand up if that's appropriate for the situation. But yeah, just sending them that loving kindness in a social situation. Nobody needs to know you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is, yeah. Thank you for that reminder, because sometimes, you know, I know you're not a fan of mindfulness, but I feel like it's having that compassion meditation in your, you know, toolkit is the reminder to have that mindfulness for when you approach those situations or approach those moments, you know, that you can say, okay, this is a tool that I have now. I learned about this on the Becoming Unique podcast.
Yes. And I am a fan of a mindfulness. I'm a huge fan of mindfulness, but it's not realistic to just be mindful all the time. Yeah. That's not human nature.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, having these type of conversations brings the awareness to a lot of things. So sometimes we just, you know, when you know better, you have the opportunity to do better. So someone could be, like you said, in these social settings, and they're just like venting to their friend. Did you believe what he said? They go and because they haven't been equipped with the tools of like, wait a minute, let's be mindful. We don't want to, come gossip to their level and start feeding all on this same low vibrational energy. What we're going to do is lift it all up, and we're going to take a moment in our stillness, or, you know, or in this moment as we are interacting, and just keep wishing them well wishes. That's why I'm just, like I said, I'm so grateful for these conversations, because then it brings the awareness, it brings the understanding how different ways that we can use the mindfulness. Because like I said, someone's not equipped with these tools, They don't know. Like, you can be like, mom, I don't
And
know.
then they feel like a failure, you know, like you're like, well, I'm not good at that because I can't be mindful all the time. My mind wanders too much. But that's what everybody's mind does. 47% of the day, of the waking hours, we're thinking about something other than what we're doing.
I'm surprised
Yeah.
it's only 47%. I feel like it's
That's
90%.
true. That's on
I was like,
average.
how is it under 50%? Because I
That's
definitely,
true.
yeah, I
But
feel
get
like.
this. The people that were thinking about something other than what they were doing in that moment, they reported that they were unhappy. They were frustrated. They were stressed, that it was unhappiness. And then when they were present doing whatever they were doing, whether it be washing the dishes or having sex, like the large range of activities, when they were present doing it, they reported being happy. So it seems that your ability to stay present, your presence is the key to happiness. And we think, oh, well, I'm not good at it, so I can't meditate. But meditation is boot camp for your focus. It's going to get you there. This is like why we go to the gym, right? It's to train. It is training. And when you go to the gym on that day that you really don't want to go to the gym, you had to drag yourself out of bed, you felt awful, you maybe even slacked off at the gym. Don't you still at the end of the day, wow, I did it. I went there, right? Same thing when you meditate and you're especially distracted. You're like, wow, I really can't stop thinking about that person that I've been frustrated with. It keeps going back to that. That you redirecting your focus and practicing that in that moment, that's like that hard gym day. You're going to get even more benefits from that. So it's an opportunity to practice presence.
I like that you said that they found out that when you're present, there it brings it, that those are the moments you are most happy.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about maybe people in their flow state, and artists, or they're in that moment, they're drawing that picture, they're dancing, they're performing, they're singing, they're in that moment. I'm not necessarily an artist, a visual artist or anything like that, but I'm assuming their mind is not thinking about, what's the grocery list when they're in the middle of drawing their art. So I'm assuming they're in that flow state to be able to be present with what they're creating. Or even sometimes, like when you're washing the dishes, you're kind of like in the flow state, like you said. And
Listening to music,
yeah,
enjoying
you're listening.
it.
Music, you're
Yeah.
in the flow state, you're dancing to the music,
Yeah.
you're in the flow state, which you feel good at the moment. So that's the goal, is to be, to bring as much presence in your life. So it should it be questionable, to the person that is like, when their minds want, they're being mindful, then they're
Yeah.
like constantly wondering all the time when they're doing, I don't know, whatever. I wonder if they should question, like, should I redirect what's happening because I can't get focused in this moment? I don't know.
Yeah, and
This
that's
goes
what these
on.
powerful. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just pondering as you said that, because
Yeah.
let's say they're at work and they can't focus, they're all over the place, all these questions that should come arise, what can you do within your life to bring that presence all the time? But go ahead.
Yeah, that's where these powerful pauses really make a difference is you start to remember earlier I said there's this network, brain network that picks up to determine was that important or not. When you strengthen that brain network to come back to the one that focuses, you're strengthening both of those networks. That's going to then overtake the network involved with mind wandering, me thoughts. They call this like the ego or the selfish sort of part of your brain, that like constant mind wandering. It's always about me. It's like, why did I say that? What am I going to do? What am I going to eat? How is that going to affect me? Right? We're turning that down. And as we strengthen these other networks, we become better at that in everyday life. And that's why I like to do these little resets, a one breath meditation, a 1 minute meditation, that are these techniques that I have throughout the book, because they're going to help you in everyday life be happier, like become more present, since presence equals happiness.
I love it. So you were just discussing a couple of pieces of the book. Could you break down what's all about what's in the book, so we know which
Yeah. So I wanted to like show you the images of the book are done by a New York Times illustrator, and they show breakdowns of the body, of beautiful, like relaxing images to help you really get into the practice, and understand it better. I feel like just looking at the colors relaxes me in itself. It is a coffee table book. It is a gift book because it is a piece of art. It's by the publisher DK, and they do really gorgeous coffee table books. And the book starts with, how do I meditate? You know, like you were just talking about a flow state. Am I already meditating when I'm in flow state? And actually, the answer to that is that meditation is a type of flow state, and you'll get deeper into flow states. You'll be able to stay in flow state longer when you learn to meditate. And when you do these powerful pauses, they enhance you going into that flow state through your day. And then there's breaks down the common questions like, how do I breathe? What do I do with my hands? What happens to my brain when I'm meditating? And explaining the basics. The second part of the book, the second chapter, is all about your mind. How can you improve your mental health with meditations? What techniques would be helpful for, you know, when you're doom scrolling, when you feel like a tech addict, when you're experiencing FOMO, when you are noticing you need to boost your memory, maybe you're distracted, that compassion meditation, everything related to your mind. The third part of the book is related to your body. And that's like, how do I sleep better? How do I lower my blood pressure? How do I relieve pain, which has been a huge impact for me personally. I experienced chronic pain since I was a teenager. And what we're realizing with chronic pain is that it's not the tissue damage. It's your brain's misinterpretation of what's going on. Your body can adapt, but your brain has not adapted to the situation. So meditation is one of the most effective ways to manage pain, to lessen pain. And headaches, that's a huge one, headaches and migraines. And then the last part of the book, the fourth chapter, is all about how to integrate it into your life. How do we, you know, while we're gardening, how do we become more meditative during our dancing or doing art? So how do you actually integrate it into your everyday activities?
I love it. Okay, so it sounds like kind of like the ABCs of meditation, starting off like this, give me the grounding foundation to work, and then ending off, you know, at the end on letting you know all the stuff that we learned throughout the book. How can we, you know, incorporate it throughout our everyday life?
Yes. And it's a handbook for that. It's a handbook for integrating meditation in your life and doing it in a way that's going to stick. If you've tried meditation before and it hasn't stuck, this is the book for you. If your skeptic neighbor, you know, they're like, I don't know, that sounds woo-woo, this is the book for them. It's got the science to support it. Or maybe your mother-in-law was told to meditate by their doctor, but they couldn't get into it. This gives ways that you can really get into it. I mean, integrating it into your life could mean what I have is a 1 minute meditation, a medication meditation. When you take your vitamins or your medicine, taking a moment and like really feeling and imagining it healing you, sitting tall and just being grateful for them. Or you could do this right now. I'm sure most of us have a water near us. Take a sip of water. The hydration meditation is going to be this pause. And actually, therapists do this a lot. Now you're going to notice this in your therapist. They'll take a sip of water during the session to kind of clear their own energy when they've heard something heavy. And this can be really helpful for you through your day. You know, if you're in a meeting or you're about to start a meeting, taking a big sip of water and feeling the temperature of water, feeling it hydrating you and just pausing for a moment. And that's also good to help keep compliance of us to stay hydrated, which we know is good for our health.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So beautiful. You've given us so much beautiful information. Is there anything else you wanted to fill us in about meditation before we start to close out?
Oh, my. Broad question. I think I just want to urge people to be kind to yourself. That's a part of meditation. Remember earlier I said it's in a relaxed way, in a way that's not judgmental or self-kindness. When your mind wanders, remember that that's completely natural and that this is boot camp for your focus. This is why you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
Is to retrain your brain. And you are, with each opportunity of noticing your mind is wandering, that's a step, right? So much of the day, we don't notice our mind is wandering. We have this conversation in our head. And honestly, if that if there was this person that was walking around chattering like that person that's in your head all the time, you'd be so annoyed by them. You'd be like, wow, you're so negative. You keep saying negative things about me. You keep like getting down on me, being very critical. So like we are training our brain to, number one, notice that that chatter in your head, that's not you. You're the one observing it. And number two, not believe it. Thoughts are not facts. And this is so good for your mental health. And if you're interested in getting into meditation, then definitely go to meditationfortherealworld.com, where you can find the link for the book, but also you'll get into a 10-day, 10 minutes a day meditation challenge that has science-backed practices with music engineered to optimize your brain waves to make it a little easier to get into that state.
Okay, lovely. Do you happen to have any guided meditation on there as well too?
Yes, exactly. So at meditationfortherealworld.com, that's where you get those audio guided meditations. And
okay.
They're just enhanced with the music and the sounds to optimize your brainwaves.
Nice. I love it. I
Yeah.
love it. Okay. So you have been nothing but amazing this, but before I let you go, I would love for you to tell us, what does becoming unique mean to you?
I think it means listening to your inner voice. You know, if we don't listen to it while it's whispering, then it's going to start screaming, whether you get sick or you get super stressed. And so when you listen to your inner voice, you can follow what the yogis call your dharma, your path, your true path. And I find that meditation has been such a critical tool to listen to my body. As we were talking about earlier, that interoception helps you get in touch with your inner voice. Like you either have a heavy heart or an open heart, you get the butterflies in your stomach, or like your body literally tells you when something's right or not, when someone's the right fit or not. Like you'll feel it in your body. And so much of the time we ignore our body. So I find that meditation helps me to listen and become that unique expression of myself, because I'm following my path, my unique path.
Beautiful. Yes, I love it. Thank you so much. You have been amazing.
You too.